Good morning. It is so very good to be with you today. I just found out, I should have tried this ahead of time, but I just found out this table is too short for my legs to go under, and so I can't get close enough to the table to see my notes very well. So hopefully I have them in my mind already. It is good to be with you today. We've been looking forward to this for some time. You know, this last week has been a difficult week for our country, hasn't it? It's been a difficult week for Christians, hasn't it? But I have been reminding myself on a regular basis. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will." And so God is on His throne. The Lord continues to rule, and we can never forget that. And that will give us courage and strength as we go on in our country. It is so good to be here and to fellowship with you and to get to spend time with you. I've been here on two previous occasions doing gospel meetings, and during that time, we just fell in love with the church here. You are so warm and friendly. You've got a good eldership, and it is a privilege to get to be back with you once again. You may have noticed in the bulletin that the title of the sermon today is The Christian's Daily Challenge, and you might have been wondering, what is he talking about? This actually came from an assignment that I received years ago. I was speaking on a vacation Bible school. And the assignment they gave me was the daily challenge to be truthful. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, there are a lot of things in life that are challenges, but they're not necessarily daily challenges. But when it comes to this one, I think it probably is a daily challenge. And so this morning I wanted to talk about something that's practical. Something that Christians face on an everyday circumstance. In fact, I read a survey that indicated that, listen to this, the average person lies, you ready for this? 25 times a day. The average person lies 25 times a day. And at first, I had a difficult time believing that. I thought, how could a person lie 25 times a day? It wasn't long after I read that I was talking to a brother in Christ, and he made the statement that the telephone rang and they were eating dinner, and he answered it, and it was a telemarketer. And the telemarketer asked to speak to his wife, and he just said, "She's not here right now." And I got to thinking about circumstances like that come out throughout the day, and I got to thinking maybe the average person does lie 25 times, and not Christians, but the average person lies 25 times a day. According to this particular poll, it said that the majority of people interviewed said that they have lied and would lie again, number one, to protect themselves, number two, to keep from hurting someone's feelings. Now, personally, my feelings are hurt more when I find out that I have been lied to. In fact, I remember on one occasion, after the sermon, I asked someone, I like to get feedback after my sermons, not because I want praise, but I want to know what I could do to improve my sermon. And I asked a sister when she walked out, I said, "What did you think of that sermon?" And she said, "It wasn't very good." She said, "You lost me in the illustrations," and that kind of stung. But, you know, I thought, well, that's useful. I can do better that way. They said people lied, number one, to protect themselves, number two, to keep from hurting people's feelings, number three, to get out of trouble. One writer defined a lie as a coward's way of getting out of trouble. And I think that's a pretty good definition because it oftentimes takes courage, it takes moral fiber, it takes backbone to tell the truth. Now, what do you think this poll tells us? Brethren, I think it tells us that most people don't have a problem with lying. Or maybe I should say most people do have a problem with lying. Now, let me ask you this question. At what age do you think lying becomes a problem for people? I asked that one time in a Bible class, and someone shouted out from the back, and they said, "As soon as they can talk." And I think that's probably right. I think this is one of the first sins that people commit in their lives. You know, a child gets a bad mark on a report card, and he begins to lie about it. Adults lie. All the way up to the highest government officials, people have a problem with lying. And it's one of these things we think it's just not that big a deal. You know, who's it gonna hurt? And so this is where I want to start this morning. I want you to get your Bibles. You may still have it open from the scripture reading. And we're going to let our text be Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse number 17. The Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness who speaks lies, and he that sows discord among his brethren. Now, friends, I want you to notice that in this short list of things that God hates, two of the seven things that are mentioned involve lying, a lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies. Now, that's interesting to me because on a human scale, where would we put lying? In fact, if there existed such a thing as a sin meter, a sonometer, and we had the worst sins at the top and the least sins at the bottom, where would we put lying typically? We'd put it at the bottom, wouldn't we? We'd say it's way down at the bottom. But what we have here in Proverbs chapter 6 is kind of a top 10 list, or top 7 list actually, of the sins that God hates. Things that the Lord says are an abomination to Him. These are the worst of the worst. And two in the top 7 list involve lying. Now friends, that tells me something, and that is, if we're ever going to get right on this subject, we've got to change our thinking about it. We've got to start thinking about this the way that God thinks about this, because we don't have it right. Now, let's define lying. Webster's dictionary defines lying this way. Number one, to utter falsehood with an intention to deceive. Number two, to cause an incorrect appearance. To cause an incorrect appearance. In light of that definition, let me ask you this. Can a person lie without saying the words? Yeah, you can lie without saying the words. Sometimes people will bend over backwards to lead someone to believe something that's not true, and they'll say, I didn't lie. I didn't actually say the words. Sometimes people go to court and they play these games. Sometimes their lawyer has to tutor them in advance so that they can give a false impression without perjuring themselves. It's still a lie. You go out of your way to cause someone to believe something that's not true. That is a lie. Now, we're going to cover 3 points in the sermon this morning. Number one is going to be God and lying. Number two is going to be man and lying. And then number three, we're going to ask the question, is it ever right to lie? Is there ever a circumstance when God is okay with that? Number one, God and lying. Here's the first thing I want you to get. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says about the Christian's eternal life, God, who cannot lie, promised it before the world began. Now friends, that means that when God says something, we can absolutely, positively count on it, because God cannot, He will not lie. When God promises eternal life to the faithful, we can count on it happening. You know, when God promises eternal punishment to the wicked, you can count on that happening. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, we know the verse. But here's what we get out of this. Sometimes people look at that and they say, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. They try to say that this is the day-age theory. They try to say that the Lord created this earth millions of years ago, and that's not true, and that's not what this verse is teaching. This verse is telling us that when God says something, you can count on it. Though He said it thousands of years ago, it's just as if He said it yesterday. Because God cannot and He will not lie. That's point number one. God cannot lie. Here's point number two. God hates lying. God hates lying. Proverbs 6, verse 17, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12 and verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to God, but they that deal truly are His delight. Number one, He hates it. Or number one, He can't do it. Number two, He hates it. Number three, lying is contrary to the very nature of God. Now what does that mean? The essence of what it means to be God, lying is contrary to that. Why? Because He's the God of truth. When God walked on this earth in the form of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me, John 14 and verse 6. His Word is truth. The psalmist said, for the Word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth. Psalm 33 and verse 4. John wrote, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17, 17. Psalm 31 and verse 5 calls God the God of truth. God cannot lie. God hates lying. It's contrary to His nature. Number four, God forbids His children to lie. Under the old law, the law of Moses, Leviticus 19 and verse 11 says, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another." Of course, one of the Ten Commandments. Can you think of one of the Ten Commandments that dealt with lying? Exodus 20 and verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Somebody says, "Don, that's Old Testament. We live under the New Testament." Can you think of a New Testament passage that deals with lying? There are several, but one we know very well, Revelation 21, 8, along with the list of the abominable and the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, the Bible says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Here's the first point about, or the fifth point about God and lying is this. Just the opposite of God, of course, would be Satan, the devil. You know what the Bible says about the devil? John 8 and verse 44, the Bible says that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, one version says of his own resources, for he is, listen to this part, he is a liar and the father of it. God cannot lie, but the devil is the father of the lie. When he tells a lie, it comes from his own bag of tricks. It comes from his own resources. Point number one is God and lying. Point number two is man and lying. Proverbs 31 and verse 5 says, "A righteous man hates lying." We just mentioned John 8:44, the devil is the father of the lie. I'm going to make a statement here. I want you to think about this and see if you think it's true. I heard someone on one occasion say this, "A man is never more like the devil than when he's telling a lie." You think that's true? I've thought a lot about that. The devil is the father of the lie. It's the original sin that you see in the Bible. And man is never more like the devil than when he's telling a lie. I mentioned to you that the average person lies 25 times in a day. I think it is that lying is perhaps the most common of all sins. I asked a Bible class on one occasion, I said, "Can you think of a sin that is more common than lying? Can you think of a sin that you commit more than 25 times in a day?" "I can't think of one." And one man raised his hand and he said, "Lusting." And I thought, okay, you probably have me there. People can do that without even talking to you. But the point that I was making is that lying is very, very common. It plagues from the very young to the very old. It's a sin that I guess every person who has lived any length of time has committed. But you know, lying is a bigger problem for some people than others, because some people have reached the point that lying is not a trap that they fall into occasionally. It's a way of life. I've occasionally heard it said about a habitual liar that he will tell a lie when telling the truth would be easier. You ever known somebody like that? I have heard it said about some people, "How do you know when so-and-so is lying? When his lips are moving," right? You ever known someone that way? Now here's the question, why do men lie? Why do people tell lies? Now we could give a lot of reasons, I'm just going to list a few here. Number one, sometimes people lie to get gain. You know, a man might lie on his taxes to keep more of his money. I bought a truck several years ago when we lived in Alabama. And I remember that when I purchased it, the law in Alabama was however much you paid for the vehicle, that's how much you pay for taxes. And it's different in Mississippi. They appraise the vehicle. But anyway, when I went to a notary to get the paperwork filled out, to get the title filled out, the man selling me the truck said, "Would you like us to write $2,000 on the bill of sale?" And I said, "I thought you were selling it to me for $3,000. And he said, "Yeah, $3,000. I said, "Why would you write $2,000 then?" He said, "So you can pay a little bit less in taxes." And I said, "If you want to sell it to me for $2,000, I'll be glad to do that. But if you're selling it for $3,000, then write $3,000. You know why I said that? Because my soul is more important to me than a few dollars that I'm going to save on my taxes. A man who is looking for a job might lie to his employer and able to get hired. He might lie about his credentials. Maybe a person calls in and lies to his boss, and he might call in and claim to be sick when he's not really sick so that he can take the day off. I remember a country music song that was out years ago, and the song brags about this. The song said, "I don't have to be me till Monday. I called in sick to work. No, my back don't really hurt." One reason people lie is to get gain. But listen what the Bible says about this. Proverbs 21 and verse 6 says, the getting of treasures, that is, you're going to get gain, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek after death. That's not talking about physical death. That is talking about eternal death. In other words, those who are going to get gain by lying, he says, are those who want to go to hell. I mean, that's how strong the Bible is about this. Another reason people lie is to get out of trouble. You see the child caught with his hand in the cookie jar. You see adults who maybe lie to a police officer to get out of getting a ticket. You see this all the way up to the highest government officials standing before Congress, and they lie to avoid punishment for their actions, and they play these word games, semantics, to try to tell a lie, but it not really be a lie. And some people lie, it seems like, for any reason. How about this one? Sometimes people will lie to avoid hurting people's feelings. What do you think about that? I remember teaching a teenage class on one occasion, and one of the teenagers in the class said, he said, I lie to my grandma all the time. He said, every Sunday she asked me, do I look nice today? And he said, I just lie and say yes, and I didn't even know what to say to that. But here's the thing. What about lying to avoid hurting someone's feelings? What about that? We think that's not that big a deal. In fact, we've come up with a term for it, haven't we? We call it a little white lie. It's little, small, not going to hurt anybody. It's white, that is, it's not stained, it's not dirty, it's small, it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. But I want to ask this question. Would the Lord do that? Do you think the Lord ever lied to avoid hurting someone's feelings? We know He didn't, because God cannot lie. And Jesus Christ was God in heaven. He was God in the flesh. He never did this. We have to realize lying is wrong. It's a transgression of God's law. And here's the trap we can't fall into. We cannot allow ourselves to measure sin by how much damage it does or doesn't do on this earth. We say, it didn't hurt anybody, so it's okay. That's not how we measure sin. You see, we have to think about the fact that sin is a transgression of God's law, not to say, it didn't hurt anybody. Lying is costly. Lying can hurt other people. When I was preaching in Alabama, I remember there was a girl at the local high school, and she made accusation against a teacher, a coach, who was a member of the church where I preached. She said that he made sexual advances on her. It ruined the man's reputation. He lost his job. He had to move away. It caused him strife in his family. He moved to another town, maybe another state, I don't remember. Years later, this girl came back and she said, I lied. Never happened. I made it up. Do you think that fixed things for that man? Do you think it undid the damage that he had done? You see, lying hurts people. Number two, lying can destroy your reputation. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And friends, the loss of your good name is a serious loss indeed. And a surefire way to lose your good name is by lying. Few people have respect for a liar, but a man who will tell the truth is respected everywhere. The world doesn't even respect a liar. Have you ever heard the expression, a man is only as good as his word? I've known some people, members of the church over the years, and if someone says, Brother so-and-so told you this, you can count on the fact that it is the truth. Because if Brother so-and-so said it, then you know that man always spoke the truth. When you get to that point, you've got a treasure. Years ago, I decided I am never going to tell another lie. Now, I'm not going to tell you I haven't slipped, and I'm not going to tell you that I've always lived up to that, but that is the dedication, that's the determination that every child of God should make. His reputation should be more important to him than anything. Being faithful to God should be more important than anything. Next, lying hurts the church. Do you think that's true? In what ways? Brethren, I want you to think about this. Here is a Christian. He's doctrinally sound. He stands for the one church and he stands for baptism, and people in the community know that about him. But then they know that he goes out and tells lies. You think that hurts the church? People are going to say, well, those people, that guy, he goes to Willow Avenue over there, and boy, he argues for the one church, but I know that man tells lies. You're going to hurt the church. Here's the next one. Lying can cost a man his soul. Again, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 6, lying is a characteristic of those who seek after death. That is eternal death. Revelation 21 and verse 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 says, believing a lie can cost men their souls. And 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 tells us there's a lot of people who are speaking lies with regard to salvation. Let me go to point number 3. Is it ever right to lie? Now, I've got a whole sermon just on this one point, and I cover things like lying to protect a person's life, and I deal with Rahab and the Hebrew midwives and all the accusations that people bring up. But let me answer the question, is it ever right to tell a lie? The answer to that is no. Let me give you some points, some bullet points very quickly to solidify this. Is it ever right to tell a lie? Number one, the Bible teaches that we are to be imitators of God and Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God. God cannot lie. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul said, be ye followers of me, imitators of me, as I also am of Christ. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says that Christ was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. In every situation, we simply need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? And friends, the answer is, He would not lie. No matter how emotionally packed the situation, no matter what the consequences, Jesus would not lie. Now somebody might say, well, I'm in a situation where the Lord never faced this. He was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. It's never right to lie. Number two, we need to realize right and wrong are not determined by earthly consequences. Sometimes doing right is very costly. Jesus told the rich young ruler, He said it's going to cost him everything in order to be faithful. Doing right costs Paul beatings and abuse. When we start determining right and wrong based on the earthly consequences, we're going to get everything out of whack. Number three, Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now this is what I want you to get. We oftentimes quote that in the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and be faithful unto death. I don't think it's abused to use it that way, but brethren, that's not what that verse is teaching. That verse doesn't say be faithful until death. It says be faithful unto death. Even if it costs you your life, is what He's saying. You be faithful. It doesn't matter what the consequences are to God. In fact, the context of that verse is some of you are going to be beaten, some of you are going to be thrown into prison, but be thou faithful unto death. If it costs you your life, then you do it. Until, yes. Unto, that's the point. And so lying to save a life, that doesn't matter. Be faithful even if it costs you your life. Number four, is it ever right to lie? Listen to this. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It doesn't say some liars. It doesn't say all except those who were put in really tough situations. It doesn't say all except those who lied to protect human life. The Bible simply says all liars. That's the passage we have to hold to. Number five, Titus 1 verse 2 says God cannot lie. I have to wonder this. If lying is sometimes okay, if it's okay, if sometimes it's the right thing to do, why can't God do it? God can't do it ever under any circumstances. Somebody says, well, sometimes for the sake of mercy, you have to lie. God is the God of all mercy, and yet He can't lie. You see, it's always wrong, which is why God can't do it ever. It's inherently evil. Number six, Satan is the source of lying. We went through John 8:44 already. Satan is the father of lies. When I'm speaking a lie, I didn't get it from God. I got it from the devil. The Bible says he is speaking of his own resources. Why? Because lying comes from the devil. Is it ever right to lie? Well, when I do this, I'm not being like God. I'm being like the devil. Number seven, is it ever right to lie? This is what the Bible says. God will provide a way of escape. It was suggested to me on one occasion by someone who is trying to defend lying that sometimes you just have to choose the lesser of two evils. Sometimes that someone dying, that would be bad. Lying, that's not as bad. So you choose the lesser of two evils. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says this, God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Friends, we can trust that the escape that God is going to allow us is not going to involve choosing one sin over another sin. Lying is always wrong. Now, very quickly, let's ask this question. What am I supposed to do if I have a problem with this sin, with lying? Number one, you have to recognize it. Number two, you have to repent of it. Part of repentance involves restitution. That means if you've lied and slandered somebody, you've got to do your best to undo the damage. Number three, after you repent, you're going to resolve, I'm not going to do this in the future. As Christians, we've been called out of darkness. And that means our sins of the past need to stay in the past. We want to be like our Father. And lying is contrary to His nature. God cannot lie. He forbids lying. And we need to regularly remind ourselves of both the earthly and the eternal consequences of lying. Maybe it's the case that you are here this morning, and maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you've been engaged in lying. If that is the case, you need to fix it. Maybe it has involved a public sin, and you need to take care of it publicly. You've got an opportunity to do that this morning, to come forward and let us pray on your behalf. We would be honored to do that. Maybe you're here today and you need to obey the gospel. Maybe you are a child, maybe you're not yet a child of God and you need to become a Christian. The Bible teaches in order to do that, you need to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you say, I have never heard that before. I want you to sit down and open the Bible and show me book, chapter, and verse. We would count it an honor to sit down and have that study with you. Maybe you are ready to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. We would be thrilled to have you come forward today. Let us take your confession and baptize you this very morning into the body of Christ. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing this invitation song.